Blog Talk Radio.
Tells them it's really saddening only because when you put it in front of them and let them make the choice, instead of them seeking God for wisdom and understanding, they'll write it off because it doesn't, well, it does confirm what it is that's being said in the Bible. It's just that they can't imagine themselves being so great, even though it has been documented that we are great. Throughout their Bible, it tells them how we are a part of God, how God has said that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. It tells them that, but they still do not believe it. When the word says that I will never leave you, they seem to think of some ghost or something like that that's hovering over them, instead of realizing it's from within. It's just so plain before us. As Jesus once said, it is so simple that a fool cannot err. But we have chosen to listen to what it is that other people have told us, instead of experiencing God in its fullest within us. It just boggles my mind how we just feel that in order for us to get connected to God, we've got to assemble ourselves together at a sanctuary or whatever it is that they want to call it, a temple, a church, a synagogue, that we have to assemble ourselves. And as we've spoke about numerous times already, what we're doing is we're going to meet someone who is already here. We're going to church to meet God when God is the one that's with you as you're going. We constantly say we want to thank you, God, for watching over us as we traveled up and down the dangerous highways. Well, because he's with you. So if he's with you watching over you as you traveled up and down the highways and stuff, why do you think you have to travel? And please understand, I'm not saying that you don't have to go. That's totally up to you. I just want people to be able to understand who they are and that it is not necessary. It is not part of the program that you have to go to this sanctuary to have a talk with God. So many of us have experienced a conversation with God driving in our car, laying down in our bed, washing dishes. On our way to work, we've had that communication with God. But then we don't feel like it is correct unless we assemble ourselves and abide by the rules and regulation in which man has ordained, not God. But we think that that is the only way for us to enter into this place of heaven, even though Jesus has left record in the book that they study and believe wholeheartedly that heaven and hell is here on earth. I do apologize for that. Somebody want to hear something. But it is important for us to understand that we are special. We are spiritual beings. And that spirit that is within us is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. It is because of that spirit that we have our life, our strength. It is that spirit that makes us who we are. But we can't accept that because we feel that we are less than magnificent. God created everything that God created was good. And so we have to understand that we are good. We were not born in sin. It's just time for us to start using the authority, the wisdom that God has given us. If I was to tell anybody that 2 and 2 is 7, they would think I was crazy. There is no way. But then if I asked the question, if God withdrew his breath from you, what would you be? They say you'd be dead. Then if God blew his breath back into you, you would be alive. So who are you? We can't get over this exterior body and thinking that that is who we are. We can't get over this exterior matter which covers us. And that's all it is. It's just matter. And thinking that that's who we are. Even though, once again, and I'm referring to your words that you read so religiously from the Bible, that says that God is spirit. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now that's what they say. Okay? But we have added on to that and think that, no, not everybody. But when we come to understand that we are all one, then we can understand that we will all be connected. We have these, there are these fallacies that they have taught us and we believe wholeheartedly, but it just isn't so. And one of the fallacies is that need exists. And need does not exist. God needs nothing. He does not need our praise. He does not need our worship. He is not a little petty, jealous, whatever you want to call him. God is deity. And he has no needs. If there was a need, he would be able to provide his own need. He doesn't need you bowing down and worshiping. He needs you to be able to live your life to the fullest, to make the best you that you want to be. This is his gift, and I say his, but this is the Spirit's gift to you, that you may create your best idea of what you think your life should be. All of this other stuff that they've added on to, the praying all the time. If you're going to pray, you should be just a prayer of thanksgiving. Thankful for all that you have. Thankful for all that you're going to get. For what you call good, as well as thank you for what you think at this present time is bad. Because there's been a lot of things that have happened to us throughout our lives where we thought that it was the worst thing possible. And then as time went on, we realized that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. But it's because we won't allow the spirit, your soul, to help lead and direct you. We can only rely on this mind that we have, this mind that can recollect different experiences that we've had during this short time here on earth. But our life expands much more than whatever time you have spent here on earth. And that's hard for a lot of people to truly understand, because they can only grasp their time here. But if they were to just sit back and, as I've always said, go within and let the Spirit speak and reveal things to you, then you'll be able to see how all things are working for the good. And there's a verse in the Bible that says all things are working together for the good. And then it's got a second part that says that he loves and stuff of that nature. But we have to understand that God loves us all. He has to. There is no way he cannot love us. And we'll better understand that when we understand it's because we are a part of him. This is why it's so easy for God to have agape, undivided love. Nothing can change it. This is why it is. But we can't accept that, because we've been told that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And we rather believe that we are no good than believe that we are great.
Hey, Brother Messenger. Well, could you say that God loves some more than he loves others? Are there different people that you think God loves differently?
No, sir. No, sir. He loves us all equally because we are all equally a part of him. He has no respect of person because we are all part of him. Now, it may seem, as if he loves some better, but what it is those that you look at and you might think he loves them better, it's what it is that person has gotten in tune with God. And there are many levels to get in tune with God. And you got to remember also, you can get in tune and out tune with him. But it doesn't change how he feels. So what I mean by that is by me getting in tune with him, it seems as if things are shining brighter for me. But it's only shining brighter because I am, as Jesus said, doing the will of the Father. And that same thing that I'm doing, each and every one of us can do. And that light will shine even brighter for that person. So there is no special person, because we are all special in the sight of God. Some of us have tuned in to the gifts that God, that we have. And so when you look at that person, you think, yeah, that person just got connected. Oh, that person got a special relationship. Yes, because they have come to know who their best friend is, who their mother, their father, who they are. And when you know who you are, you can walk in an assurance of knowing that you are a royal priesthood. You can walk with your head up high. And then when you walking with your head up high and your back straight, then you walk with a certain authority where it could be misconceived that there's something special about you, that God cherishes you more. But trust me when I tell you, he loves us all the same, each and every one, because each and every one of us is a part of him. And he doesn't love his leg more than he loves his arm. And that's just using the physical as a reference. Because we do know that he is spirit. And that spirit that is in that special person is in you too. And it's the same spirit. So it's important for us to not look at God as we are. And we need to start looking at us as God is. Instead of us trying to be like God, we're too busy trying to make God like us. And that's just not going to work. We've got to stop thinking and start knowing. And the only way we can know is if we get in tune with our soul, our spiritual soul and mind, and allow it to lead and direct us. Because as it says in the Bible, it will bring all things back to our remembrance. Because it is nothing that we don't know, because we were here and from the foundation. When all of this was put together, we was there. So there is nothing that we don't know. We just have to call it back to our remembrance. But you can't call it back to your remembrance from your mind. But you've got to use your soul, because your soul is what who you really are. So I say this just as an example to let us know just how special we are, just how much authority we have, just how awesome we are. Think about it. You cut yourself at this present time, and by the time you wake up in the morning, it's already starting to reheal itself. And this doesn't happen just to that special person that thinks that we think is so special to God. It happens to each and every one of us, because each and every one of us are the same. And I will continue to spread this message until somebody, just try me. Just try me and see if what it is that I'm saying is not confirmed by the spirit that dwells within you. And you can only do it for yourself. You can't go to somebody else to tell you about you. And that's our problem. We want to listen to everybody else but the spirit that is within you. I say to you, let's come down off of this pity party. Let's come down off of this doubt and look to find out just who we are. That, as Jesus said, we can have life and have it more abundantly. And more abundantly does not mean 6.5 days in church, always on your knees praying. When you're praying, what you're doing actually is telling God that you don't have anything, when you've got it all. When you've got it all, and we do have it all, we just have to understand that all doesn't necessarily mean $1 million. There is so much more to life than the monetary thing. Yes, it becomes an important part of life. But it's not the most important part. We've heard many stories of people with all the money in the world just as miserable as they can be. And then there are people that don't have 50 cents, but as happy as can be. We have the authority to make ourselves happy. And what we have to do is learn how to be the thing instead of want the thing. You don't need money to be happy. Be happy and money will come. I don't need a big house to be happy. Be happy and the big house will come.
See, we've learned just the other way.
That's correct.
We've learned I can't be happy until I get that which I think I need.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And that's one of the things that slows us down from being able to create and to be able to enjoy life, because we've got it twisted. And we've got it twisted because we're constantly listening to what somebody else is telling us, what it is that God is saying to me. Now, if I've got a personal relationship with God, there is no one that can tell me, that needs to tell me, what it is that God has for me. If I have my time with God and we're in communication with each other, why do I need to go on Sunday? And I'm really not trying to discredit churches and synagogues. I'm just trying to get us all to better understand who and whom we are. And once we do that, will that stop you from going to church? No, but it will give you a more rewarding experience if that's what you choose to do. But it is not an obligation. In order for you to make it into heaven, even though Jesus said heaven and hell is right here on earth, we didn't understand it, but that's what he's trying to let us know. It's on us. And we've all experienced those heavenly days where it just seemed like everything was just beautiful. Nothing was wrong. Heaven and hell is a state of mind. And we've got to reprogram our minds. We've got to let that old stuff out and have a talk with God. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You open up and I'll come in. And all we have to do is open up. But we won't do it because he's already opened the door for the minister, and the minister will tell me everything that God wants me to know. And we've gotta know that God is much bigger than this. We've got to know that we are all part of the divine plan.
Hey, Brother Messenger.
Yes.
Yes, excuse me. I'd just like to welcome a caller in. Hey, how you doing tonight, caller?
Hello.
Nurse Carmen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. How you doing, Nurse Carmen?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right, good deal. Sorry to interrupt you, brother.
No, it's okay. It's you know, I watch us as we go through these daily trials and tribulation that life has to bring. But they come to us because we don't know who we are. They come to us and they ride us because we will not allow the spirit that dwells within us to have its way, because we are so busy trying to use our mind. And it gets to the point where truly, in order to truly experience God, you've got to be out of your mind. Because the mind has a tendency to bring something that it can remember. And remember, as I said, the mind, the brain or the mind right now is only going back however long you were here. That's all it can truly remember. And so it's calling to remembrance the only thing that it does remember. But the soul has been here since the beginning. Since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of creation. So it's got a whole lot more in its data bank to call to your remembrance. But we won't allow the soul to guide us. We rather have the mind. Our mind, which has been trained or taught certain things that just isn't so. But we'll believe that instead of listening to the soul. And as I said numerous times, we've all had that, I wish I would have listened to my first thought, which is the soul speaking to us. Can anybody Amen. Recall? Can anybody recall listening to the soul and something went wrong? This is how you can tell whether it's the soul or you, because the soul will not ever, 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 ever lead you wrong.
All right.
The soul is always working for the best you. And we have to understand the best you doesn't mean that you're in church on Sunday. The best you doesn't mean that you, quote unquote, walk upright per se. And what I mean by that is that you are just so holy that you can't do anything. Because we have to understand that we are all holy because of who we are. We have just got to understand that and start walking in that light. And being holy does not mean that you can't go to a club. Holy doesn't mean that you can't play spades. But these are some of the limitations and restrictions that these different religions have put on you. And we've allowed them to do this because we think that they know us better than God does. So I'm going to listen to what it is that you have to tell me about God instead of hearing what he has to say from her.
See, now Brother Messenger, that's a very interesting point when you just said, they think they know us better than God knows us, or we believe they know us better. I mean, you just think about the mind-altering state you had to be introduced to on a continual basis to arrive at that thought. I mean, that's just crazy. I'm going to go talk to the priest because he can talk to God for me better than I can talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah, that just don't pass the common sense test if you think about it.
Right.
But we've been trained to believe that the so-called minister, and this is really no bash on the minister, the priest, mm-hmm. or anybody else. We've been trained to believe that their life is so much holier than mm-hmm. our lives. So that's why we believe they're always a ready intercessor for us. And that is just, if you stop and think about it, I'll let you arrive at your own conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're so true. And one of the other things is they have already proven to us that it's not true. But don't believe them.
That's right.
See, and really what that is, that puts unnecessary pressure on the Jimmy Swaggerts, on the Creflo Dollars. I mean, again, whatever you're doing, you may think that you're doing some good for folk. I mean, if you really think that, then bless your heart. But I don't know. I started to go on the preachers, and I had to back up just a little bit. So I'm just going to acquiesce at that whole conversation right there, brother. Because the minister's almost got a left jab from me.
Well, you got to understand this. It's not a left jab when it's the truth. All right?
Right.
And if they want to take it as a left jab, let them take it. Because it's time for us to be able to open up our eyes and stop walking in darkness. This is why we're be called sheep. This is why in the Bible they use the phrase sheep and pasture. Because we're being led blindly. And we've accepted the role as sheep when we are much, much more than a sheep. We are part of God's body. When she put this whole thing together, she had us in mind. She had it in mind that the three of us would be here tonight. She had it in mind that a couple others wanted to, but they wasn't sure. And next thing you know, time has slipped past them. All of this has already been predestined. And what I mean by predestined is the spirit is doing its part. We're not doing our part. And then we're turning around and begging the spirit to do something that it is already set up for us. But because we chose not to, then we wonder why things are going on the way they do. Because we're not listening to ourselves. We're listening to other people. I'll just give you an example. A good family friend is in the hospital today. All of her sisters are members of a church, really nice church and stuff, and they're on the missionary committee. Now, mind you, the sister is in the hospital. But they can't get up to see her because they've got a program at the church. And they're part of the officiating crew of the program. Isn't that twisted? Missionaries have go out to the people, the sick, the shut-in. But you can't get to them because you've got a program scheduled at the church with a bunch of people that don't need you or ain't going to pay you much attention, but only for a minute. Anybody feeling the point that I'm making here? We are a missionary. And
I hear what you're saying, but... If I schedule that program, you better be there, man.
Right.
Watch this. I grew up in the era of we schedule the programs and people don't show up. It don't really make any sense. But understanding that custom, I get it. I mean, again, and that's crazy. But growing up in that custom, I understand that being a decision for somebody to make. We got a program coming in here, but my sister in the hospital. What you'll end up doing is you'll end up saying, well, she's going to be all right, and we'll get up there and see her right after the program is over. That program,
yes.
I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But you know what, again, because that's how we've been introduced to thinking. You know, that we've been introduced to thinking that way, and that's just crazy.
It does. Once again, it defeats the purpose of what you're really called to do. It defeats
Amen.
That purpose. If you are a missionary, anybody that is sick, you should be spending your time in the hospitals, visiting them. You should be spending your time in the jails, visiting them. Jesus left it on record, and they're still not paying him any attention.
Hey, if it's a program, come on now. it's a program. We don't book some folks, man.
Yeah. And the bottom line is it comes down to that dollar.
Yes, it does. You know that. Yeah.
It comes down to that dollar. Yeah, my sister's sick, but I got to get the show must go on. And that's the problem. The show must go on instead of life and more abundantly. We'll put life in the and anything that has to truly do with God on hold for the show. The show is much more important than any. Truth be told, the show is more important than heaven and hell. Because while I'm down here, I gotta make my way ready for heaven or hell. So they believe, or so they think.
Okay.
It just boggles my mind, the hypocrisy that religious people do all in the name of God.
Hey,
it just bothers my mind.
You know what, Brother Messenger? I mean, just as we toss ideas around, could it be that some, well, let's say 99.9%, because I don't want to say all, but some religious leaders really know that it don't matter what I say to you, what I do to you, I really know that you're going to heaven. So therefore, me taking your money, buying airplanes and all the rest of that, that ain't really that bad. Because I really know that if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be giving me any money or following me around. But since you don't, and I know I'm really not hurting you, because the end result is the end result. And no matter what I say to you, it don't change the end result. Could it be that kind of a mentality has already been set in most of the preachers' mind, most of our evangelical leaders' mind?
Well, honestly, I don't know if they've gotten to that real point where they know that it doesn't matter because of where you're going to end up. I don't know if all of them have gotten to that point. I think that all of them, what happens the same as with politicians. They have a tendency to just put that dollar in front of everything else. And they seem to think because they can come back and quote a scripture that makes them holy. And it's time for us to wake up and understand that the scriptures was just man's own interpretation of what it was that God was to them. That's all the scriptures are. But we've taken the scriptures and made them God's word. Even though God is talking to you daily, you don't want to hear that as much as reading John 3:16. God being spirit loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. So what we've just done with that scripture, as simple as it is, we've just turned God into us. God is a spirit, but he gave us his only begotten son. What is begotten?
So I'm assuming this begotten must be a little different from created. I'm just saying, if he was created, that's one thing. But if he was begotten, it had something to do with that. Had a little more personal, action on that one.
Does anybody know what begotten means? And I'm being serious. I don't, what does begotten mean? I mean, mother co-producer getting ready to do some research. All right. But he gave his only begotten son. So if he is only begotten son, why would Jesus call us brothers and sisters? Or he didn't literally mean brothers and sisters? He didn't mean it when he said we were all one?
Hey, Brother Messenger, just so you know, begotten, typically of a man, sometimes of a man and a woman bring a child into existence by the process of reproduction, or gives rise to, brings about. So we know that that's man's definition of begotten, unless they are now saying, unless they've always been saying that, you know, whatever act of reproduction God used, that's what he did for Mary. But I thought it was an angel who impregnated Mary. Or was that God himself? I mean, really, not, how does that story go?
No, it was God himself, but he sent the angel to let Mary know what he did. He wasn't even God enough to tell to stick around and tell Mary what he did.
Okay.
I got things to do.
I'm going to do this most miraculous thing in the world. But after I do it, right, I'm sending my man over here and let him explain to you what just happened. Because I can't tell you right now. But if you can get wrapped up on that story or that type of story, then it makes sense to me why you can believe a lot of other things, because you always got that fail-safe, it's by faith. Well, explain this to me. You just got to believe. And, you know, and if I can get you to just believe just because you believe it, then, you know, then all the rest of this goes into play and it all makes sense. But I remember when I was not a little lad, but I was a grown man, and I remember hearing a minister preach a sermon, and he said, if you can believe the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning there was nothing, and God made all this, if you can believe that, then you should not have a problem believing anything else in that Bible. If you can believe that there was nothing except God, and now we have all this, if you can believe that, then you shouldn't have a problem believing anything else that's written in that Bible. And I say, for years I believed that statement, but now I look at that statement different, because I don't buy the 6 days. I don't buy you justifying or you limiting God's creativity or his... but his ability to create, put him in days like we have days. You know, now you're limiting. So I no longer just believe that statement. And therefore, I understand why he said, if you believe it, then believe the rest. But if you don't, he said, I ain't mad at you, I guess. I guess that was his real message.
And that was a real important thing that you touched on there, because God didn't create time. God didn't need time. We created time so that we can measure one distance from another. But he did it in 6 days. And then on the seventh day he rests. So this great God that took nothing and created everything, got tired. He got tired, but now he is awake 24/7 watching over the entire universe. And when does he rest?
Really? Really?
And if you listen to the story, it's as if God actually went and built a tree. And that's why he was so tired, because all he did was spoke it, and it became so.
Amen.
He said he built a tree, brother.
Yeah. He built a tree, then he had to build the rivers and the oceans. And the son, he built all of that personally. He was tired and he had to rest. and that became the Sabbath day. Every day is the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
If 100 years is a second to God, how does that justify that he rests on the sixth day? So that means technically it took God 6 billion years to create this. And then on the second, on the Sabbath day, he rests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we go on with the time thing, and I know I'm exaggerating
right.
a little bit with the billion,
right.
but you know what I mean? If 1 minute is forever with God, how do we justify 6 days to create this? Even though it's on record that he just spoke it. Or are we to assume God had a stuttering problem and it took him a long time to get it out?
Mm.
This little humor.
I was going to say, if that's the case, then I could imagine any conversation with him and Moses.
So the people already went into promised land. He was still talking to God. They had to get out. You know?
He's still trying to get that message out. Like, don't worry. I've already sent it out to the world, but I'm going to finish telling you.
You sit down over there, right? We're going to talk about this. Even with that story, supposedly Moses wasn't able to make it into the promised land because what, he killed somebody, he struck somebody down with the stone or something along those lines, his anger. Does anybody recall why Moses didn't make it in to the promised land?
Now don't hold me, don't quote me on this. I think at some point he was asked to go and tap a rock for water or for something, and instead of tapping it, he struck the rock out of anger. And I think that's what he messed up at. That's what it was. I saw Brother Shaquille say, he hit the rock too hard, man. He hit the rock too hard. But now again, don't quote me on that, but that's what I remember.
But just using that, if that's what we're using that. So think about this. He was able to deal with them out in the wilderness and all of that stuff for 40 years. And this loving, forgiving, awesome God got so petty because, as you would say, he hit the rock too hard. He wouldn't let him in. Is that a true example of God and his goodness and his greatness? If you think about the stories in which they tell us about God, God is one, excuse my French, y'all, but God is one punk ass. You know what I mean? If you listen to these stories, he's a petty punk child. Petty punk spoiled child. He ain't happy unless you walking around all day praising him. Is that the God that we are a part of? And that's another thing that people like to say all the time. And we have to understand, we're not serving God. We are a part of God. People like to say, the God that I serve. What are you serving? You're serving BS. That's what you're serving. And he don't want that. There is nothing that we have that God don't already have. That's how we got it, because he gave it to us.
Amen.
But we seem to think that this great God was able to create all of this and he forgot some stuff, and now he need us to give him what he forgot.
Mm.
It's just amazing how we can accept these things. And some have master's degrees in this, doctor's degrees in this and that, and that, all these different things, but they accept this. Dr. Neil Grasta Tyson, great man. He does not deny the power to be of the spirit. He's not sure exactly what it is. He calls it God as well. But trust me, if you have a talk with him, he'll tell you a different look on this whole spiritual thing than what religion do. But with all his wisdom and knowledge, he knows that there is a greater being. But this greater being ain't this stuff that they want you to believe. You sing the right song, this spirit, this guy gonna have you running around bumping your head. God, you hit the right song, gonna have you knocking yourself out. What? What is that all about? And if let's just say one Sunday you did finally come in contact with God. Okay? You came in contact with God and you just felt so overwhelmed that you ran around the church or you shouted or whatever. The next time you come in contact with God, wouldn't you want to have a more a different type of experience with him than the same running around knocking yourself out? When you've got connected instead of running around, wouldn't that be the time to have a talk with God? But they've been fooled that now all of a sudden they're talking in tongues. Because technically, God don't understand English anymore. That's why I got to speak in tongue, because God don't understand English, right? But I can turn right back around and pray to him in English, he'll understand it. It's just, you know, the different gimmicks and stuff that they've got going on in the name of God, and we can't see this is mind-boggling. And it gets me because some people are so rooted into it that they won't even allow themselves the opportunity to think anything different. It's been a while since we've gotten together. What we're going to do as our time winds down, we're going to make it a point going forward, Thursday at 10 o'clock and Sunday at 10 o'clock. Thursday, we're going to do a half an hour. I miss you guys, and it's time for us to get back on doing God's will of sharing the word. So let it be known that Thursday's at 10 o'clock and Sunday's at 10 o'clock. Thursday for a half an hour, Sunday for an hour. Truly thank each and every one of you for taking the time to come out and hear what it is that God would have us to know. And as we leave this podcast, we ask that you would continue to let your light shine. Tell somebody, tell anybody about the God that resides within you. Not at the church, not at the temple, but resides within you. And it is you that's bringing him there.
Amen.
They like to say, stop by, Lord. I'm already here. What do I mean, stop by?
Yeah, that's right.
But I do thank you. At this time, we're going to
say goodnight to the podcast audience. Hey, Brother Messenger. It was, as always, just beautiful hearing your words. And again, We're not going anywhere. This message is going to continue to come out of this podcast. And again, if we can find one person a day that's just willing to open your mind up and understand that life could be so much simpler, and we deserve to have it so much simpler if we would just tap in to the God that's what's inside of you. So,
amen.
Again, this is a co-producer from Hods to Hods Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week, and as Brother Messenger said, we'll see you Thursday at 10 p.m. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, my sister.
Good night.